Welcome to Nashville Restaurant Radio, the tastiest hour of talk in Music City. Now here's your host, Brandon Still.
Hello, Music City, and welcome to Nashville Restaurant Radio. My name is Brandon Still, and I am your host. It is Friday, going into a beautiful weekend. Very excited about the weather going into this weekend. And we are going to be talking with Ms. Stephanie Richardson today. Stephanie Richardson is a business coach, a John Maxwell certified coach. And today she's talking about the six things that are going to make you successful. And this was an interesting meeting. I met her at a Chamber of Commerce meeting at Maribel. And I just really enjoyed my conversation with her at this meeting. And I said, hey, I'd love to learn more about what you do, because I do that sometimes. I like to learn more about what people do. And so she came in studio and I said, hey, let's record it. And so we did. And I thought it was some pretty good content. And I'm going to put it out there today. So Stephanie gives her information at the end if you want to learn more about what she does, or you enjoy this and you want to do more of that. And it's just a fun episode. It's a short little episode. I think it's a little more than 30 minutes, and we're just gonna do it. I want to tell you guys that we've got two big events coming up. One of them is Toast Nashville. You've seen the last couple episodes been talking about Toast Nashville. It's going to be the weekend of April 19th, 20th, and 21st. The past two episodes, Chef Kev Deshane was really an amazing, fun conversation. And then the following week, on April the 28th, is going to be the Giving Kitchens annual event. It's the Tennessee Tasting. It's going to be at 114 2nd Avenue South, which is right downtown. Really cool event space. There's going to be lots of great food, lots of great times, and for a great cause. All the money goes to help restaurant workers. I mean, they are here to help restaurant workers. The Giving Kitchen is really our charity of choice here at Nashville Restaurant Radio. Love them and every single thing they're doing. I will be there. My restaurant, Chago's, will be there. And we'll be passing out some nachos and some fun things. And I will be the MC for the evening. So I would love to meet you. If you're going to be there, go to givingkitchen.org and purchase tickets to that. We'd love to sell a bunch of tickets. There's VIP tickets. Okay, so check this out. Strategic Hospitality, and I believe Locust, is going to be doing a special pre-opening kind of a thing. So Strategic Hospitality, which is Bastion, Henrietta Red, Locust, Kisser, all those people, and I don't know if all those people are going to be there, but I know that there's going to be a special tasting before the event. So go to givingkitchen.org. Check it out, and if you can get those VIP tickets, I would do that now, because they are going to sell out. I will also be auctioning off at that event. You can be the host of this podcast for a day. If you'd like to come into studio and we're going to do an interview, you will get to interview celebrity chef Andrew Zimmern. He hasn't even been on the show yet. I have not even had him on the show, and he has agreed to come in and do the show. I don't know if it's going to be via Zoom or if it's going to be in person. Depends on what time is and if he's in Nashville. We'll figure it out, but he has agreed to do it. We're very excited about that. And you can auction. You can win that. And we would love for you to win that. And that'll be an episode that we put out on the air, just like a normal episode. So lots of fun. And yeah, I don't have a whole lot more. We've got a bunch of amazing episodes coming up. We have Anna Aguilar and Josh Cook and Maria from Tantissimo. That's going to be next week. We're going to have, we've already got some interviews ready for May and Mental Health Awareness Month. We've got a Sarah Gavigan episode coming up. And the week after next, we are going to interview Gloria Johnson, the Senate candidate for running for Senate. And she is one of the Tennessee Three, and we're really excited to bring her in. Caroline will be back for that one. And we've got a roundup coming up. Lots of fun things. So stay with us here. Make sure that you subscribe wherever you are listening to this. And last thing I want to say is I just want to send a big thank you out to Gordon Food Service. You guys are amazing, and they have supported this podcast. They've been our title sponsor. We are powered by Gordon Food Service because they are the ones that make this thing go. They are amazing, and if you are looking for a broadliner, if you're looking for a company that really cares, see, they're the only broadliner out there that's still family-owned. So they're nimble. They're quick. They can move. They don't have to ask shareholders and go and, well, I don't know, man. The boss won't like that. Like they can do the things. They are here to help you guys succeed. The thing that I love, if I says one thing about Gordon Food Service that I absolutely love is that they do what they say they're going to do. They do what they say they're going to do. They're honest and they follow through. They're really, their whole warehouse is amazing. It's all done electronically. Technologically, it is out of this world. And if you call a Gordon Food Service, or if you call Paul Hunter, and you can look in the show notes. I put these in there often, different information, how to get a hold of people. You can go down and take a tour. They would love to have you out to do a tour of their facility. It is second to none. I mean, it's really, you go see this warehouse and you're like, whoa. If you want to call Paul Hunter, his number is 615-945-6753. He's the new business development manager over at Gordon Food Service. They're just amazing people, and I wanted to say thank you for your title sponsorship. I don't do a lot of ads for them because this is powered by them, and they sponsor The Final Thought, which we're going to have here in just a little bit at the end of this interview, but they're just awesome, and I wanted to give them a shout-out. And if you're looking for a broadline supplier, you need to check out Gordon Food Service. All right, let's jump in right now. Stephanie Richardson, John Maxwell, coach. Super excited today to welcome in Stephanie Richardson. Stephanie is the owner of Unlock Your Potential, and you're a coach. Are you you're a business coach, public speaking coach? You do all kinds of stuff.
I do, yes.
Tell me about yourself.
Okay, so I am a John Maxwell certified coach, Maxwell Leadership Team.
Okay.
I coach a lot of CEOs and entrepreneurs and business owners. And what I coach them on is six areas of their life, not just their business goals, but other areas of their life that I feel like are also important so they have better harmony in their life.
Balance.
Yes.
That's the word I like to use. Yes. Harmony is even better.
You like that.
So there's six things. I think it would be really fun to go over what those six things are, because if you are a restaurant owner or somebody in this industry, you're constant. It's like having children and they're constantly like grabbing at your leg. And work-life balance is really hard because it's always calling you. I mean, every single day the restaurant is open, unless you do like a Monday through Friday daytime place and you're closed on the weekends. But 95% of restaurants are open 7 days a week. And just because it's Saturday doesn't mean that shit's not going to happen on a Saturday.
Right.
So I think this is really beneficial for my listeners to kind of understand exactly what you do. And maybe at the end, you can give your number out. And if people want to learn more about what you do, maybe they can contact you.
Sounds great.
What's the first thing?
Well, obviously, we look at business goals. So my goal is to help people increase their revenue, increase the number of customers they have in their business. And we track all of those things, marketing, lots of different things, networking that we work on to help them improve their business goals.
So what is the first thing you do? And if you're talking to me and you say, hey, what are your business goals? Let's just say I have very clear business goals, KPIs for everything I'm looking for, and I've got a good business plan, budget set up, I'm rocking and rolling. But part of that means I'm there 70 hours a week.
Right. And I think part of it is that people may be crushing it at work, but they're ignoring their health and fitness or their relationships in their life. And I was a therapist for 10 years.
Oh.
So a licensed professional counselor. And I feel like all of these areas are intertwined. So
100%.
If you positively or negatively impact any of the areas, they impact the others. So if you're crushing your business goals, but you're ignoring your health and fitness, at some point, that's going to come back to bite you. And it's going to take you away from work because suddenly you're sick.
Yeah.
And
or you're in the hospital.
Or you're in the hospital.
You have a heart attack or a stroke.
Exactly. From stress.
Something, yeah.
Right. So I really think it's important for people to look at not only their business goals, health and fitness, finances, personal growth.
Are these part of the 1 through 6 or this all part one?
These are all part of the 1 through 6.
Okay. So let's back it up to one is understanding what your business goals
business are. Business goals.
Figuring out business goals. What is number two?
So we'll just pick health and fitness next.
Health and fitness. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you help people identify their business goals and then you help people, you put them on a workout plan?
I don't put them on a workout plan, but I help them identify what they want their workout plan to be. And I have even had clients text me at 4 in the morning saying I'm up or showing me a picture of them at the gym for accountability purposes.
Nice.
Because they know if they don't do that, they're not going to go. So, yeah.
I think James Clear, are you familiar with James Clear and Atomic Habits?
Yes.
I
mean,
if you just get up every day and go to the gym, I went. I got up this morning and I had a very distinct plan that I was going to go to the gym and I was going to do this and I was going to meet you here and I've got to be at the restaurant all night long and a lot of other things were going on. But we woke up this morning and we had a baby chipmunk in the backyard. And last night, my wife sends me a picture of her holding a chipmunk, a baby chipmunk. And I'm like, oh my God, do we have a baby chipmunk as a pet now? Like, this is the most exciting thing I've ever seen in my life. I've always dreamed of like chipmunks are the cutest things on the planet. And she goes, no, we're eating dinner. And the cat, we saw the cat like ready to pounce on something. We're like, oh, look, the cat's hunting outside. And then the cat jumps in this pile of leaves and comes out with a chipmunk in its mouth. And so we're like banging, like, no, don't do it. So then the cat drops the chipmunk. We run out there and it's just a little baby and it's unharmed. Like the cat didn't hurt it at all. So they held it and tried to feed it nuts and berries and stuff. And then it wasn't really, it was alive and, but it was a baby, so they put it back in the woods, and they were like, well, maybe the mom will come and rescue it. And this morning, the cat was, like, dying to go back outside, so my wife went outside to find the chipmunk, and it was still there. But it was lethargic, and it wasn't really moving a lot. So she picked it up, and we put it in a box, and we warmed it up, and she, like, just held it, like, next to her, and it, like, woke up, and it was moving around. So we cut up an apple, and we gave it, long story short, we called, I go to the vet, I'm going everywhere to try and figure out what do we need to do with this baby chipmunk, because the cat's just going to eat it. And so I took it. I had to drive to Walden's Puddle this morning.
Yeah.
And I dropped it off. But that's in Jolton. Was not in my plan today. But on the way back, she goes, hey, we need to talk. We have all this stuff going on. And I said, okay, but I'm going to the gym. And I went to the gym. Mm-hmm. But I was only there for like 25 minutes.
Hey.
Normally I do an hour. But I was like, I have to go.
Yes.
Because if I don't, then that's a day I didn't achieve that.
Right.
And I have to, but as James Clear always in Atomic Habits was, every day, even if you go for 5 minutes, get your ass up, get dressed, and go to the gym. Even do 5 minutes on the treadmill and then leave, because at least it starts that habit.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
I totally agree with that.
It's a long story to make that point, but I did that today.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you have to be in the gym for 2 hours a day to be doing something that's effective on your for your health.
Go for a walk outside. Being in nature is massive for just everything. Mm-hmm. And don't listen to an iPod. Don't listen to anything. Just walk and be bored. Like, let your brain wander. I love doing that.
I love being outside in nature.
Yeah. Okay. So business plan, health and fitness, number three.
Personal growth.
Personal growth. What do you mean by personal growth?
Something that you're doing to focus on growing yourself, learning new information. It could be listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
It could be reading. Could be taking a course. Could be anything like that. I have a couple of clients that have gotten their pilot's license, one that studied Japanese. So just something to help you.
Pickleball?
Pickleball, whatever. Something new that you're learning to help you grow.
Do you know, and I'm just going to pepper this with personal anecdotes as we talk. But one of my favorite things is I live right by Percy Warner Park. Mm-hmm. And so I love going and doing like the white trail or the blue trail, red trail. But I'll do is I'll find a book or a podcast and I'll start listening as I'm walking. And then as soon as I find my brain wandering on one of the topics, right? So if you had a podcast you had and you're talking about personal health, whatever, and my brain started going off in this, I then turn it off. And just let my brain go for the rest of the hike. Mm. Take the AirPods out and I just let my brain wander. And I love that. And then when I get back in the car, I always write notes as to what I've thought about, what they were. Because obviously there's a podcast, there's content, and I've got three restaurants I'm operating. So I'm thinking about leadership and, oh, there's this coaching I should have with this person. And I always have these epiphanies when I'm on the trail, walking by myself, alone with my thoughts. Then I sit down and I write this stuff down. But those are a personal, and I think of all kinds of stuff I can do. It's the best time that I have.
But it's because you're quiet.
I'm quiet.
And a lot of people don't do that. As leaders, they don't take the time to be quiet. And one of the things that I encourage my clients to do is have what I call CEO time.
There you go.
Every week, which is usually at the end of the week. And it's reflection time of what went well this week, what didn't go so great, what do I need to do next week to move the needle forward. But you have to take that time to be still. It could be outside, sitting outside listening, but time to be present and be still and assess.
Yeah, and intentional time.
Right.
That you schedule.
Right.
Like you need to put it on your calendar Friday at 2, between 2 and 3, I'm going to drive to Centennial Park and I'm going to park under a tree, turn music off, hide my phone, maybe with a notepad, and maybe answer, is it those three specific questions?
Those are great questions, I think, for reflection. And I think...
Let's repeat those questions.
Okay. So what went well this week?
Okay.
What didn't go so great?
Mm-hmm.
And then what do I need to do differently next week to move the needle forward?
What went really well? Where do I have opportunities or what didn't go well? And then preparation. What for next week can I, what did I learn from this week from those two things that I can take into next week to be better?
Yes.
Okay, I love that.
And doing that, you're creating what we call white space in your day, which is the time in between meetings and other appointments and things that you have going on when you have nothing scheduled, when you are really scheduling with yourself.
Yeah.
That time for yourself.
I call those clarity breaks.
Like that.
So it's, we operate in our restaurants on the EOS process.
Yes.
James, I'm sorry, James Clear again. Traction, Gino Wick.
Yes.
And one of the things I do is I like to schedule my general manager's clarity breaks, my manager's clarity breaks. I want you to go for a hike. Go to Radnor Park. Go walk around for an hour. No iPads. But I want you to think about how we're going to address this issue. Mm-hmm. Or I want you to think about your day or whatever it might be. But it's that same white space, that clarity break that you have to intentionally schedule. Otherwise, yes, it all runs together.
And you don't set aside time for it.
Business goals, health and wellness, and then reflection.
Was that personal growth.
Personal growth. Okay, personal growth is number three. Numero cuatro.
Finances.
All right, number five.
We're not skipping that one.
And number six. Finances. All right, well, let's jump in. What are we doing on finances? How are you helping with finances? Now, is this personal finance or is this business finance?
Could be either. So there are some clients that I've had. I have a nurse practitioner client who is a single mom, and I've helped her become completely debt-free.
Wow.
In her personal life. And both of her kids are graduating from college with no student loans. And
that's fantastic.
Yeah, big deal.
How do you do that?
Hold her accountable to whatever she wants to pay for. Like she wanted to get a new deck put on. And so she knows how many shifts she has to work extra to save up enough money to get the deck put on. And so we have worked on that kind of a budget, I guess is what you would call it.
Sure.
Of this is how much we have to save to be able to put the deck on, to be able to pay for it. Things like that that I've done just to hold her accountable to that plan that she wanted.
So I think that's interesting because you can kind of be an accountability coach for CEOs. Like because
right,
CEOs and owners of companies or even myself, like I don't have somebody who I have to do that myself, which is one of the biggest challenges is that I don't think people understand the burden of holding yourself accountable while holding everybody else accountable.
It's lonely at the top.
It really is. So to have somebody like you to say, hey, what are you doing there? Where are we at? Kind of gives them an accountability piece that says, okay, I need to focus on a different way. Some people hate that.
Some people do, but she welcomed it. And I think part of coaching is people that go through coaching want to grow. They want to learn. They're open to feedback. They're coachable. So I think that's the first step, is she was coachable and she wanted that accountability around those financial goals. There's another client that I worked with who was in commercial real estate and had some financial goals that they wanted to accomplish with saving a certain amount of money in their bank account and also buying a fifth wheel for their family. And so we...
What's a fifth wheel?
It's like a modular, not like a...
A mobile home?
Not a mobile home, but I don't know what you call it, like a... Gosh, I can't even think what you call it, like a moving, I don't know what you call it. What do you call it?
I don't know. We'll Google fifth wheel here when you're home and we'll figure it out.
It's called a fifth wheel. It's like a, we used to have a Winnebago when I was little, when I was a little girl. It's bigger than that and it's way bigger.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a hotel on wheels, basically.
Okay, so something like that. Okay, yeah. I get it. Yeah.
So okay. Anyway.
RV almost, but.
Yeah, different. RV. That's a good word, but bigger than that. Okay.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So anyway, they wanted to do that. And so we were looking at goals around what they needed to do financially to be able to budget for that, right? And so that's just another one of the goals that we worked on. So finances, yes, definitely with the business. So, for example, chiropractors that I started coaching, a lot of people, when they coach with me, they stay with me many years. They've been with me four.
Yeah.
And when I first started working with them, they were seeing about 100 patients a month. Now they're seeing 550. So you can just imagine what that's done with their revenue.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing we focus on. How many patients? How many new patients? So how many new customers in the restaurant business?
Yeah, that's amazing. Who holds you accountable?
I have coaches too.
You have coaches too? Mm-hmm. Therapists have therapists.
Right. If they're a good therapist, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, similar kind of a deal for you. You have a coach that you work with?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have another John Maxwell coach and we meet monthly and hold each other accountable to our goals.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number five. Was that number five or was that number six? That was four.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's recap. Business goals, fitness and health, personal goals, finances. Mm-hmm. These are all the six steps and things that you do to help business professionals or CEOs or leaders, bosses. Mm-hmm. Number five.
Spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, this is probably the one you get the biggest pushback on, isn't it?
No.
No? Was it health and fitness or finances?
Probably health and fitness.
Okay. I was saying because... That's the thing. Like, I'm fine. Stop drinking. No,
I think spiritual means different things to different people. Okay. And for some people, it's just what you described earlier, getting out in nature and walking and just being present in nature.
A form of meditation.
Right. And so that may be what their spiritual goals are around doing more of that. Right?
Mindfulness.
Right. Mindfulness. For some of my clients, it is meditation. And so they might be practicing meditation. For some of them, it's going to church, Bible study, serving at church. So it just depends. Each person is different and it's personal and whatever their goals are in those areas, whatever makes them feel more peace in that category, I think is what we focus on.
Okay, interesting. Because I think you can look at that. Calling it spiritual, I think some people would turn people off because they're like, hey, look, I don't want to deal with any of that stuff. I look at it because I'm in recovery, so to speak, and working a 12-step plan, one of those things is you have to give everything over to your higher power.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's the biggest turnoff when it comes to these 12-step programs for people. It's like, I'm not giving something over to God. But for me, it was one of the most powerful things that I ever did because I want to be in control. Right. I want to be in control of everything in the world. I have three restaurants. I've got wife, kids, podcasts, consulting, all of these things, and I want to be in control of all of it. But you know what the reality is? I'm not. I can't be in six places at one time. And that drove me crazy. And that's the reason why, one of the reasons why I drank was because I couldn't control everything in my life, and it drove me nuts. And so at the end of the day, there's a lot of voices that were barking in my head that I should have done this, I should have done that. And what I did was I would have a drink, and I would have two drinks. The term, I need a drink, to me is one of the most interesting terms, because where I used to say, I need a drink, for now I say, I need to meditate.
Right.
I need to take a moment, because what I do and what I've learned is I give it over to God. Right. No, whatever my God is, I'm not.
Right.
For me, I'm a Christian. So, I mean, like, for me, maybe it's the literal God, and I don't go to church every week, and I'm not practicing. You need to find God. That's not me. It's a very personal thing for me, mm-hmm. that when I give everything over to my higher power, or when I give it to God and I say, God, I can't control everything. I'm going to give this to you, and you let me control what I can, because it is what it is. That was the most powerful thing I ever did in my life. It was the most powerful thing I ever did, was to give all the anxiety and all of the things that I can't control over to a higher power, and control the things that I could, and then trust the rest of it will work out okay. And that's through meditation, and that was through all these things. But when you say spiritual, it is so vital that you give that stuff over to whatever your spirituality is,
right.
and to take that moment to go, I'm doing the best job I can, and it's okay. Am I tracking with what you're talking about?
Yes, because I think where we live in the Bible Belt, then people automatically think God, church, Christianity, and that may not be the case for some of my clients, and I want to honor that. I'm a Christian, but I also want to honor that not everyone is, and spirituality may look totally different for them.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
Right. You don't have to be
right
Christian. I mean, I think that that's a good point. I didn't know if some people, especially in our world, would say, no, there's only one God, and we are going to heaven because we get to be. I'm like, no, look, whatever it is that you choose to worship, or whatever, you don't have to worship, whatever your spirituality is, and maybe it's just a oneness that you feel with a wall, if it's this microphone in front of us that that's your thing, then as long as you can find peace through it, and you can practice giving whatever stress you have away to that, and feeling that level of peace, I think it's great for you.
I agree.
Very cool. That's number five. Mm-hmm. Do we need to go any deeper on that?
I'm good with it if you are.
We'll be right back with number six right after these words from our sponsors. Are you looking to grow your business? Or are you looking to start a business? Finding a retail spot is number one. You got to do this. And that is why we're talking about the Chandler James retail team at Lee & Associates. Miller Chandler and Lee & James are your go-to brokers to do just that. They're located downtown in the heart of it all in the Batman building, and they're serving all of Middle Tennessee. Let me tell you, both Miller and Leanne are Tennessee natives, so you know they know the neighborhoods. They know the demographics, and they can help you find your dream location. Now, here's the cool part. Chandler James can help you find and negotiate terms on your next restaurant location. They represent both retail tenants and landlords in our market, which means they can also help you with lease versus buy decisions and act as your leasing agent should you ever decide to go all in and purchase commercial real estate. If you'd like to get a hold of them, give them a call at the office. Their phone number is 615-751-2340. That is the Chandler James retail team. Give them a call today. We are supported by Robbins Insurance, a local insurance agency providing customized insurance policies, sound guidance, and attentive service. Robbins Insurance is the go-to agency for hospitality professionals in Nashville. Listen, Robbins knows how hard industry professionals work every single day. They also know how devastating accidents can be, be it a grease fire that damages the kitchen, a severe storm that cuts off power, or a customer slip and fall incident. But with the extensive experience and the savvy to create a policy that protects your business from accidents like those, you can rest easy knowing that the work you've put in will not be for nothing. Visit Robin's website at robinsins.com to request a consultation or call Matthew Clements directly. His number is 863-409-9372. Protection you can trust. That's Robin's. The boys in gold are back, and we're talking about the Music City Beer Company. Yes, this is Nashville's local domestic beer. Made in Nashville, by Nashville, for Nashville. And the official local beer of the Nashville SC, who are back in action. This beer is brewed for the boys in gold. We want to tell you today about the Music City Light. This is a local domestic beer for Nashville, Music City's own local light beer, and the Music City Amber, the beer for adventures in Music City. Well-rounded flavor from beginning to end that leaves you wanting more. And if you're going to Geodis Park to check out Nashville SC, you've got to order the Music City Pitch. Ice cold refreshment while you cheer on our boys in gold. If you're a restaurant and you'd like to pick up any of these products, you can purchase them through Best Brands. And if you're a consumer, wherever you consume, ask for Music City Light and Music City Amber. Please enjoy responsibly. Number six.
Relationships.
All right, so that was the six. there's some tough topics in
here.
I know. Things that you don't necessarily want to address, but you, I think these are the things that you kind of put aside and you're like, somebody's going to make me do these one day.
Right.
And that's when I'll address them. And it looks like you've identified these are the things that we as leaders push aside to someday. And you come in and say, no, that day is today.
Right.
And you go, damn it. And there is where you come in to force people to look in the mirror and address some of these things that we continue to put off on the side.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. So for relationships, it could be time with their spouse. Maybe they haven't had a date night in years. And so it may be that's something that they want. And so there is accountability around, okay, when's your date night this month? When are you going? Where are you going? What are you doing? Maybe they're going away for a weekend.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Honey, if you're listening, I want to go away for the weekend with you.
That's great. So it could be...
Plan it.
Time with their spouse. It could be time with their children as well. So it could be family activities that they're doing something, not sitting in front of the TV or watching a movie, but out doing some kind of activity together. Maybe it's hiking. Maybe it's going to a festival in the city or something.
Yeah.
And when I was a therapist, one of the things that we did with family counseling is we encouraged the parents to spend one-on-one time with each child.
Yeah.
And a lot of parents don't do that. They don't spend one-on-one time with each child to really strengthen that relationship with each one. And so making sure that that's part of what they're doing as well. And then there are extended family members that might be nearby, not nearby, or friends or neighbors or whoever those people are that are in their life that they really want to invest time in. Those are also people that we look at. Are you spending time with those people? Do you have a sense of community in your neighborhood if that's important to you? Are you spending time with your parents? Are you going to visit them if they're out of state? How frequently? But those kinds of things are what we focus on with relationships.
Why is that important?
Well,
I mean, it's a rhetorical question for me, but like I'm asking you for the show. Like, why is that important?
I feel like that if you're doing great at work, but who are you doing it for? You know, who are you doing it for? You're doing it for your family. You're doing it for the people in your life, whether it's your peer group, if you're not married, and, you know, your friends that you're hanging out with. Maybe you're doing it to, you're growing and expanding so that you can influence them. As a parent, you're influencing your spouse and your children, obviously. And so I feel like it's important to have that time to invest in those relationships, because especially if you have kids, you only have them for a short period of time. My daughter's graduating from college in a couple of months. And so it passes so quickly, and you only have a short period of time to really impact their life. And if you've ignored it because you're at work all the time, then who are you doing it for? At some point, they're going to be grown and gone and out of the house. And then it's either you by yourself or you with your spouse. And if you don't invest in those relationships, then it's, again, like I said earlier, it's going to come back to bite you at some point in your life.
This is one of those situations I feel like is exacerbated by comparison. And let me tell you, in our world, in the restaurant world, where 7 days a week, you can work as much as you want to. Nobody's, as a leader in the building, nobody's going to say, go home, you don't need to be here, because there's always another guest that wants to see you, another hand to shake, another guest to greet, another fire to put out. You can be the hero all day long. And I find myself going, well, this person does, they're there all the time. I need to, it's almost like keeping up with the Joneses thing. Well, if Randy works, you know, 80 hours a week and he doesn't miss his kids, then it's fine for me. But you have to realize this is a very personal thing.
It is.
And it doesn't matter what anybody else does. It is what lives in your heart. Mm-hmm. And if my kids are 8 and 10, you know, so this is something that's been really near and dear to me over the last month or two, 3 months. I've been dealing with this side of balance really hard. And I've kind of come to the decision that, look, because somebody else works this much, well, their kids are grown. They're in college. They come home at night and their wife doesn't want to see them because their wife is playing bridge with a friend and they'd be sitting at home alone. Hey, if I go to work, it's a social thing. They want to be there. But me looking at them, well, they're always here. I should be there too. But my kids are missing out on having dinner with me because I'm comparing myself to somebody else who's in a completely different world than I'm in.
Right.
And I think you have to, again, look in the mirror and go, hey, look, my kids are 8 and 10, and I want to spend that time. I want to throw the baseball with them. It's summertime. It's getting dark till, it doesn't get dark till 8 o'clock. I got time at nighttime to play and to do fun things. And, like, I'm choosing that in my life right now at nighttimes, and especially on the weekends. I've started putting this podcast out on Fridays because I was leaving on Sundays to come down here to edit the show and do all the stuff. And it's like, I'm not gonna miss that time anymore. Who cares what day the show comes out? I don't give a shit. So now I'm prioritizing that and focusing on that, because when the kids are 16, 17, 18, 19, and they go off to college, hey, I'll have more time. I can invest that time. But right now I have to cherish that time. And I'm not gonna go in because I have competent people who can operate the restaurant without me. I don't have to be there. And so that's a whole thing for me.
Well, I think part of it is that you have to trust the people that are on your team.
100%.
To know that it's going to be run well without you, right? That mm-hmm. you've hired the right leadership to be there and fill in when you're not there. But kudos to you for choosing your family, because you said something earlier. You said, I can walk around, I can shake this hand of this guest or whatever, and I can be the hero. Well, you're being the hero at work. But your kids need you to be the hero at home. That's who you need to be the hero for.
I mentioned this on a previous podcast just the other day with Eastside Bon Me, but being the hero, there's some things that people love being the hero. But do you know a woman named Debbie Sunderland? Debbie Sunderland, she does coaching on a book called Conscious Leadership. And I'm going to bring her in here too really soon. She's amazing. But when you're the hero, when you come in and you save the day, the problem with being the hero is that there's also a victim and there's a villain. And identifying who the victim and the villain are in that scenario is the scary part. Because if I'm the hero at work, then the victim and the villain, or the victim might be my kids, because they don't get me because I'm being a hero at the work. Or maybe it's the general manager who didn't plan accordingly and didn't have enough staff, but hey, they can rely on Brandon. Well, who's the victim and who's the, like, and it's interesting if you take that triangular dynamic and try and figure out who's playing each one of those roles in those moments, because I love being a hero. It's like, well, of course you do.
Yeah.
But why not figure out who the victim is first and maybe not have a villain and not have a victim? That right. would be the real hero thing, right. right?
Exactly.
Reacting to stuff and fixing it after you've made the mistake. I've always said this, at 4 o'clock, you can fix a lot of things that you don't want to have to fix at 7 o'clock in a restaurant. Right. Because if I can do it while everybody's standing around, if I can have all the linens that I'm going to replace throughout the shift in the right spot versus it's 7 o'clock and we're on a 2 hour wait and I've got to get a linen, there's none there. I've got to go upstairs to the linen closet and get it. Like, I could have easily stocked that at 4 o'clock.
Right.
Why not do it then? And so it's same sort of a deal with a lot of the things in my life. I'm trying to figure out, like, Hayla, how do you proactively do that and not be the hero all the time? I don't want to be the hero. I want to just be a player in the whole game. Let somebody else be the hero.
Right.
Maybe there was not a victim or a villain.
I love that you're being more intentional about the time that you're spending with your children, because you can't get that time back that's lost. And I raised my daughter as a single mom, and I was very intentional about the time and the activities and the things that we did. And I always had people ask me as I was raising her, how do you get everything done that you get done? And it was because I planned it. I planned time with her, and I would say, we're going to go to the Adventure Science Museum, or we're going to go to the park, or we're going to go to the pool. Mom's going to work for a couple hours, and then we're going to the pool the rest of the day, or whatever. But she had something to look forward to, and I had a plan.
That's the planning. Failing to plan is planning to fail, right? Yes. Is that the phrase?
Yes.
Well, I love it. So these are six really good techniques, and you help executives through these things.
Yes.
Do you have to be an executive to do this, or can I just be what if I'm a stay-at-home mom?
Yeah.
And I really want to get all this stuff under control because I'm drowning with housework and all of the stuff I got to do. And my husband runs 3 restaurants.
Right. No, I don't.
Completely hypothetical situation right here.
I don't just coach CEOs. I do coach a lot of CEOs, but I also coach a lot of business owners that are more, I would say, like an entrepreneur 1099, where it's like a physical therapist or a chiropractor or a real estate agent, mortgage loan officer, software engineers. It's their own business and they really don't have a boss, but they probably wouldn't call themselves a CEO because it's maybe they're a solopreneur or maybe they only have 2 or 3 employees.
Yeah. I love that. Well, this is all super fascinating stuff. Let's just say I'm listening to this and I go, man, I need help in 4 of those 6 categories, or I need help in all 6 categories, maybe just 2 of the categories. How hard is it? Like, if I wanted to pick up the phone right now and call you, would it be best if I sent you an email, or could I call you? Like, how would I get the ball rolling to do an initial consultation to find out if this is what's right for me?
Yeah, I usually meet with people for the first time for like a 30-minute to 45-minute session, just a discovery session to see if we're a good fit for each other.
Sure.
So they can reach out just by texting me or calling me, and I can give my number if you want me to.
Go, yeah, do it.
Okay, 615-977-0257, and I am on Facebook as Unlock Your Potential with Stephanie, so you can reach out there, or I'm on LinkedIn as well.
I love it. Okay. Well, that's amazing. Do you have an email address?
I do. It's Steph, S-T-E-P-H, Richardson1@gmail.
Steph Richardson, and then the number one?
Number one.
Mm-hmm. @gmail.com. Mm-hmm. So if you're hearing this and you think this is interesting, and thank you for joining us today, tell me a little bit more about yourself, like your history. You said you were a therapist for 5 years. How long have you been doing the Unlock Your Potential coaching?
It's going on 7 years with my coaching business.
Wow.
So I was a therapist and did that for many years. And then I went into sales. So when my daughter was born, I stopped working in corporate America as a therapist and decided to be home with her so I could raise her and not put her in daycare. That was important to me.
Yeah, I love that.
And so I had started a direct sales company, working with a direct sales company about 5 years prior, and had built it to where I was making the income that I was in my counseling profession. So I just continued with that.
Why did you leave the counseling profession?
Because the number of hours that I was working was not going to be beneficial to being the kind of mom that I wanted to be.
Well, there's a testimonial. I mean, for living what you're doing, was there a seminal moment where you just had like a, I can't do this anymore?
I was working 70 hours a week and I was on call 24/7. So if we had a child that was suicidal or ran away or whatever, on the weekends, then I was the regional supervisor. So the buck stopped with me. So I got notified and had to deal with it. And so anyway, yeah, it was just, I knew I couldn't be present and be the kind of mom I wanted to be. So I stopped doing that and went into sales because I knew I could be home and raise her and spend a lot of time with her, and it could be on my own schedule.
Well, you've got to be so proud of her, and I'm proud of yourself too. I mean, because not only are you now coaching these things, but you lived it. Like, you took these six things and did them yourself and actively made it happen.
I did. Yeah, she's graduating in a couple months, and we have no student loan debt.
Wow.
Which is crazy because she went to a private art school, which is very expensive. And it's just how I am. I'm very intentional about living these things out. I'm not saying I'm perfect. We all have days that we're off, right?
100%.
But did I do something small in these areas that was in the right direction?
Well, I think it's important if you're going to be out coaching this stuff that you've lived it.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, this isn't like, oh, I read the book by Maxwell and now this is what I do. Yeah. And I went to some class and I learned this and now this is what I do. Like, this is stuff you lived in your life. And this is how you made it as a single mom.
Yes.
By practicing these six principles in your own life. And you're a testament to its success.
Thanks.
Right?
Yes.
And so now you get to do this, you get to help other people. And I imagine that's incredibly gratifying for you. To see people kind of graduate. Do the people graduate from this thing or?
Well, I guess what I love to tell people that are coming in is I move people from where they are to where they want to be. And that's my goal, is to move them to where they want to be. And I have some clients that have been with me 3 and 4 years. Wow. Because of the relationship I have with them. And the accountability that they know is good for them. And there are always new goals to work on each year.
Every year.
Right? So
you're saying what you can do is you can take somebody and you can unlock their potential?
Exactly.
You like the way I brought that home, huh?
Come on. I love how you brought that full circle there.
Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us today. One of the final things that we do on the show, and I think that we could talk for hours, but I know you have a time frame, so what I want to do is we have the final thought. This is from Gordon Food Service, who is our fine title sponsor. They do a final thought. So what you get to do is you get to take us out of the show. Whatever you want to say, whatever piece of wisdom you want to share, it could be your favorite quote, it could be anything that you want. Literally, whatever you want to say, the mic is yours. You get to take us out. Go.
John Maxwell says that if you don't create the future you want, you endure the future you get.
I love it. That's a fine final thought from Stephanie Richardson. Thank you for joining us today. Well, thank you again, Stephanie Richardson. That was a fun conversation. A little departure from our everyday stuff. I work with a business coach at Second First. And Deborah Sunderland, there's lots of people out there that I think it's really cool when working with a coach, because we all tend to be emotionally involved in what we do. We're in there every day. And I love that commercial, the nose blind commercial, where you walk into a room and it's like, this stinks. Like, I can't smell it. Like, when you're doing your stuff every day, you just don't recognize some of the things you could be doing. So it takes somebody who's not emotionally involved in your life to talk to you and learn and go, hey, you could be doing different things. Like, what? You just get into a rhythm. So even consultations with people like Stephanie are really, they're just great. They're great and they're beneficial. And it was a really fun conversation. I'm glad I was able to share it here. Let me know your thoughts. Go to our Instagram page and let us know what your thoughts are. You should go to the Instagram page anyway, because right now for another 48 hours, we are giving away tickets to Toast Nashville. You can go to our Instagram page. If you guys got to write, you got to like the thing, you got to follow us, and then you got to type in which event you want to go to. I've got 12 sets of tickets to give away. Really excited about this. So I want to give them out. Go to our Instagram page. Like us, follow us, and tell me who you would take with you. Hope that you guys are being safe out there. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back next week better than ever. Love you guys. Bye.